everyone. Welcome to Studio Classroom on the air. This is the place to come when you want to have some fun. My name is Rebecca. Well, we are continuing our lesson from yesterday called Indoor Skydiving. In this lesson, we learned about the author Pam and her experience going indoor skydiving. Does this sound like an adventure you would like to try? Well, it definitely sounds exciting. Today, we're going to continue this lesson. So, these are a few things that we will discuss. The first thing is preparing to fly. And the next thing that we're going to talk about is my flight. Of course, that's referring to Pam's flight. Friends, I know you have your magazines. Open them up and let's begin talking about indoor skydiving. Follow me.
Indoor skydiving. Preparing to fly. Upon arrival, I was required to sign a document stating that I wouldn't hold the center liable in the case of injury or death. That alone should have made me hesitate, but with my adrenaline pumping, I proceeded up to the next floor. There, along with 9 other people, I received invaluable instructions on how to position my body while in the wind tunnel. Next, I was given a flight suit, helmet, earplugs, and goggles.
Hi everyone, welcome to Language Lab. 首先我们看 liable 这个形容词， li 这个字根有约束的意思，所以 liable 是只有义务的或者是要负法律责任的。如果要说明要负什么样的责任的话，是用 for 这个介系词。例如 the airline is liable for the passengers' losses caused by the delay. 航空公司要负责赔偿旅客因为班机延迟所造成的损失。如果是要某个对象对某件事情负责的话，是 hold someone liable for something 这个句型。例如 the owner of the vehicle was held liable for the victim's medical expenses， 车主要对车祸中的伤者负起医疗费用支出的责任。继续我们看的是 invaluable 这个形容词， IN 在这里是一个否定的字首， valuable 是指有价值的，所以要注意 invaluable 不是指没有价值的，而是指无价的或者是极宝贵的。例如 such a breakthrough will prove invaluable for the field of neuropsychology， 这个突破对于脑神经心理学的领域将具有极重大的意义。或者是 the data collected by the astronauts is invaluable information for astronomy， 这些太空人收集的数据对天文学而言是极珍贵的资讯。
Okay, Rebecca, are you ready?
For what?
Are you prepared to fly?
Yeah, let's do it. Oh.
Good.
Okay.
We just did some indoor skydiving just now.
Right, without leaving the ground. Imagine that. Well, anyway, we are continuing learning about Pam's experience going indoor skydiving. And this next section is called, or the first section that is called Preparing to Fly.It seems like there's a lot of preparation that goes into preparing to fly to go, yeah.
Good point, Rebecca. Yes, our lesson is building up to this climax, this most exciting point, right? In yesterday's lesson, we didn't hear about Pam's experience or read about it. Here we're learning about her preparing for this experience. Later we'll get to the most exciting part, the actual flying, indoor skydiving.But right now, preparing to fly, upon arrival, I was required to sign a document stating that I wouldn't hold the center liable in the case of injury or death. Well, that sounds exciting.
Yeah, doesn't that just reassure you?
Yeah.
That this is going to be a safe experience?
Yeah, Rebecca here. to work here at Studio Classroom. Just need a sign here, just in case you die here at Studio Classroom. It's not our fault.
Oh, you mean when we do one of our adventures, like going to Taidong or something?
Yeah, or just teaching in the studio. It can be quite dangerous.
Yeah, you're right. No, I'm not going to sign my life away. No,
you're not going to sign here?
No, I'm not going to sign here.
So you probably wouldn't sign to go skydiving because they would have the same kind of thing.
Well, that's a different experience. Oh. When you're going skydiving or indoor skydiving, there are definitely more risks. But if there's a risk of dying here in the studio, I would be very concerned.
Yeah, I would too. Don't worry. It's not dangerous working with me most of the time.
Most of the time. That's a key word right there.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, let's continue with our lesson, shall we?
Well, right, because Pam, it's interesting that she would include this in the lesson because she says, that alone should have made me hesitate. That means kind of wait and I don't want to sign, right? But with my adrenaline pumping, I proceeded up to the next floor. So it sounds like she signed this thing saying that it wouldn't be the center's fault if she got injured or even died.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like she's having an adrenaline rush.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And this is a great phrase or some good words that we would like you to know. Now, oftentimes when I go on roller coasters, mm-hmm. I get this adrenaline rush. Or remember when we went scuba diving mm-hmm. or even bungee jumping? That's a better example. I definitely had an adrenaline rush.
Yeah, man, that was really scary.
Yeah, it was.
And a lot of people get an adrenaline rush if they're doing something that can be kind of scary,
mm-hmm.
or if something happens and they need to think really quickly, what should I do, what should I do? They might have an adrenaline rush. A lot of sports players at the very beginning of a game will have an adrenaline rush that makes them run faster or be stronger than they usually are. And an adrenaline rush, or adrenaline in general, can be very good. For example, Rebecca, maybe you've heard stories of mothers who have actually lifted cars when their babies got stuck underneath, and because they had an adrenaline rush, they were able to lift the car and get their children out from underneath. Normally, a person wouldn't be able to lift a car.
That is a great example.
Right.
You have that adrenaline rush. It gives you this ability to do something that you might not necessarily have been able to do otherwise. And based upon what Pam says, I think that she's definitely having an adrenaline rush. We read there, along with 9 other people, I received invaluable instructions on how to position my body while in the wind tunnel. Now let's talk about this word invaluable along with the word valuable. They're similar, but they definitely have some differences. First, invaluable means extremely useful. But what about this word valuable?
Well, yeah, valuable, that means you can know the price mm-hmm. or the value for sure. For example, a diamond ring, that's valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And you could probably figure out the price of that ring. Or the moon is invaluable. Of course, it's way too valuable for all of us. There's no price to that. It's priceless. It's invaluable. A way to remember invaluable is that it's not possible to measure the value of something. It's that great.
So Pam received invaluable instructions.
Mm-hmm.
She was given a flight suit, helmet, earplugs, and goggles.
And now it's time for an invaluable time with Luke and Ken in the Info Cloud.
Hello, friends. Today we'd like to look at 2 different kinds of collars, blue collar and white collar.
Now, we all know what a collar is. It's another name for the neckband of a shirt or a jacket. But when we associate it with the colors blue and white, it is given a new meaning because of the history behind these terms.
Right. First, we have the term blue collar, which is an occupational classification. In the early 20th century, those who performed manual labor usually wore blue denim or linen shirts since they were inexpensive and when they got dirty, the dirt wouldn't show so easily.
So people started referring to them as blue-collar workers because of their blue attire. These types of workers perform specialized jobs that typically require working with their hands.
That's right. Mechanics, electricians, plumbers, or even carpenters might be considered blue-collar workers. Now, what about white-collar workers?
Well, white-collar is associated with office work. In the early and mid-20th century, white-collared shirts were fashionable among office workers.
Over the years, white-collar worker has come to be referred to as a formally trained professional, such as a manager, accountant, doctor, or attorney. The education level required of these jobs is generally higher than that of blue-collar jobs.
Now, this is not to say that one type of job is better than the other. No matter if you have a blue-collar or a white-collar job, both are vital to our society.
我们常讲的蓝领跟白领阶级是源自英文的 blue-collar worker 跟 white-collar worker。之所以会用蓝色，是因为工人为了避免在严苛的工作环境中磨损或弄脏衣服，通常都会穿着厚帆布或是棉质的蓝色工作服，让灰尘或油渍比较不明显。后来 blue-collar worker 就用来表示从事劳动工作的人，而 white-collar worker 之所以用来表示坐办公室的人，是因为他们的工作不容易弄脏领子。另外，白色也表示上班时必须衣着整洁。要注意，领子叫做 collar, blue collar, white collar, 不要讲成 color, 那样就变成了颜色。这就是今天的 Info Cloud, 下次请再见。
Studio Classroom is on the air.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Studio Classroom, where we are learning about indoor skydiving. Doesn't that sound so exciting? Well, we're learning about Pam and her experience going indoor skydiving. And I definitely think indoor skydiving would give you an adrenaline rush.Okay, well, we already learned a little bit about Pam and how she prepared for her flight, but what about her flight? Well, we're going to learn about that now with our next reading.
Indoor skydiving. My flight. When it was finally my turn, I leaned into the flight chamber and onto the column of air,as I had been instructed. Immediately, my body became horizontal as I lifted off the ground. The instructor grabbed the straps on my flight suit and helped position me. Soon he released me, and I was flying on my own. The grand finale came when my instructor and I flew straight toward the top of the chamber. It was so exhilarating.Maybe someday I'll really jump out of a plane. But for now, indoor skydiving is the perfect alternative.
Okay, 接下来我们看的是 grand finale 这个成语。Grand 是指宏伟的或者是壮丽的。Finale 是指结尾的高潮。所以 grand finale 是指压轴戏或者是隆重的收场。例如 the grand finale of the party was the drawing of the grand prize. 这个派对的压轴戏就是抽出最大奖。或者是 the two sweethearts finally got married in the grand finale of the sitcom. 这对恋人在这部情景喜剧的最后高潮终于结婚了。最后我们看的是 exhilarating 这个形容词。EX 这个字首有向外的意思。H-I-L-A-R 这个字根有高兴的意思，所以 exhilarating 就是指令人极度兴奋的、令人振奋的或者是兴高采烈的。所以这个字里面的 H 是不发音的，念成 exhilarating。 例如, the exhilarating safari in Kenya will be something you will remember forever. 肯亚刺激的游猎之旅将会成为你永生难忘的记忆. And now let's get back to our teachers.
Yes, yes, it is time for the climax, the exciting part of indoor skydiving, my flight. Pam writes, when it was my turn, when it was finally my turn, I leaned into the flight chamber and onto the column of air as I had been instructed. Immediately, my body became horizontal as I lifted off the ground. Now, what is horizontal, Rebecca?
I'm glad you asked. Horizontal refers to something that's parallel to the ground. So, for example, my clipboard is currently horizontal.
Yes.
It's parallel to the ground.
Good. So mm-hmm. is mine.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also see this other word on the screen, vertical. Vertical is the opposite. And that is when you take my clipboard and I make it go down, up, up, down. This is vertical.
That's very nice. And we saw that word vertical in yesterday's lesson. So friends, horizontal, heng xiang, or vertical, zong xiang. Now, I think there's an easy way to remember the difference between these two words.
Please share with us the secret of yours.
Okay, so you see that word horizontal, it's got a Z in it. H-O-R-I-Z-O-N-T-A-L. Well, you see the tops and the bottom, the top and bottom of the letter Z go from right to left, right? It's horizontal. And the word vertical, V-E-R-T-I-C-A-L. Now, you could use that V to make an arrow that's going down or down and up, right? So we've got horizontal going across and vertical going up and down.
Can I be honest with you, Gabe?
Yeah, it's pretty good, right?
That's really, really good.
Yeah, thanks.
But what I was going to say was,
yes.
When I was younger, I actually got these two confused all the time.
Uh-huh.
Horizontal and vertical.
Are you okay now?
Well, now I'm fine. Yeah, it's great. And your little secret, your trick, helps a lot.
There it is.
There it is. Okay, well, we read that, of course, Pam, her body immediately became horizontal as she lifted off the ground. Then we read the instructor grabbed the straps on my flight suit and helped position me. Soon, he released me, and I was flying on my own.
Aw, yeah. I love this word, flying, is in quotes here, because she's not really flying through the air. The air is pushing her up. It's circulating in that chamber, remember? So it feels like she's flying there on her own. So the grand finale came when my instructor and I flew straight toward the top of the chamber. It was so exhilarating. And so we've used the word climax before here in our lesson, talking about the most exciting part of something, the most exciting part of a lesson or someone's story. And we see this word exhilarating. Usually the climax, it's the most exciting time. It's exhilarating.
She is definitely having an adrenaline rush, I would have to say. Well, we read, maybe someday I'll really jump out of a plane. But for now, indoor skydiving is the perfect alternative. Now we're going to talk about this word alternative. And an alternative plan or method is just, well, it's just a good substitute for something else.
That's right. It's another option, right? Mm-hmm. So for example, we have plan A. Do we have any alternative plans? What if this restaurant is closed? Where should we go as an alternative? What is plan B?
I know you really want coffee, but we don't have any coffee. So tea is a great alternative.
Oh, tea is a terrible alternative. I want coffee. Well, friends, that's okay. Coffee, tea is great. Friends, we do have something we would like to show you. In case you missed it yesterday, there is a video of some indoor skydiving. Let's watch that right now.
You might enjoy it. Tea is a good alternative to coffee.
Come on. win. Come and join me. We'll teach the world to fly. Will you come and join me?
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the SE Challenge. And today's player is Tim. Hey there, Tim.
Hi, everyone.
How are you feeling about today's SE Challenge?
I have no idea what it's about.
Great. I think you're feeling very excited then. Well, today's lesson is all about indoor skydiving. Doesn't that sound adventurous?
What? Are you sure it's not outdoor, not indoor?
This is indoor skydiving. Have you ever heard of indoor skydiving?
Never.
Great. Well, now you have. Well, before we talk about skydiving, my question for you is, what's the most adventurous thing you have ever done?
What is the most adventurous thing? Mm-hmm. Well, I would say scuba diving.
Ah, scuba diving. Where have you gone scuba diving?
I've been scuba diving around Taiwan.
Okay. Yeah. And why do you consider that adventurous?
Because it's like really deep under the ocean and, you know, you're with wild animals, or fishes if you call them animals, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just don't know what you'll see.
So yeah. Have you seen anything really cool under the water?
Oh, I've seen a sea turtle once. Those were really cool.
Oh, was it a big one?
Yeah, it was a really big one.
That's so cool. Friends, you just might be interested in scuba diving. Okay, if you had the chance to go skydiving, would you do it?
Oh, yes.
And why?
I've heard a lot of good things about it. Like, it's one of those unforgettable memories.
Okay.
And it's a lot of, like, exciting. Yeah. You're half scared and half excited.
Okay.
I want to feel that feeling.
You do. Would you prefer to go skydiving, like outdoor skydiving, or indoor skydiving?
I don't really know what indoor skydiving is, so I guess outdoor
Outdoor skydiving.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. Maybe someday you'll have the opportunity to go outdoor skydiving.
Yeah.
Friends, do you think you'd be interested in going skydiving? Sounds exciting. Well, thank you so much for joining us for today's SE Challenge, and we'll see you next time.
Skydiving sounds like so much fun, but what if you don't have time for skydiving?
A good alternative would be the Sisters Rights Festival.
Huh?
That's what we're learning about tomorrow, right here on
Studio Classroom.